Okay, we are going to have about 1 hour or little more than 1 hour. We have already appointed topic, traditional topic. We are going to discuss with that. We are going to start the discussion with that. But before going to the sutta, the assigned topic, I would like to know if anyone is having any other topic or interview reports or suggestions or criticisms. We can take a few minutes. Yeah.
We haven't received any report to present today.
Okay. So that means we can start with the topic directly.
What's the difference between the way with least friction, as you said the last time, and the easiest way?
And what difference between what?
The way with least friction
and
the easiest way.
Both are the same. These two are the same. No friction means that is the easiest. That's Isaac Newton says if the material is matter is moving along the space, very straight, very simple. It is always simple.
When I think about life, like changing patterns or habits.
Yeah.
Is something which needs an effort, and it's kind of hard. If I would say I go the easiest way, then I just go along the way I always did, and it's kind of the easiest.
Yeah, that is what I am asking you. You never do it. You always try to role model. You always try to act. You try to always follow some rules and regulations. Germans means they are notorious. Because Hitler did the mistake. You are very obedient fellows listening. You can conquer the world, no harm. But you can't conquer you. Taoism, I got 100 books and I distributed. And to say, just understand the world, try to adopt into the situation. So for the moment, you are not in the least frictional path. You are doing something. Volitional, willful. And when compared with other people, we do very little. That we must be very happy. And that one also, whenever happening, the friction, the aberration, the reaction, you can feel it. That's our sensitivity. That's why we are vigilant. We are diligent. Whenever you go against the grain, you feel it. The friction, the aberration. Then you understand what is happening. You are not understanding about the system, why it is creating a problem, why I took the turn, everything. Nothing. You just see, I am in a friction, I am in a tension, I am in a frustration. Even the tiniest frustration and tension you can understand. Because you have gotten rid of huge amount, very little available. Be aware, that awareness is more frictionless path, more simplistic path. Because that understanding is about the aberration, about the friction, about the commitment, about the volition. And you understand your volition, not fighting with others, you are not complaining others. Understand, I have gotten rid of so much, but even for the little thing available, I now feel, I am very sensitive. I am not accusing someone, not fault-finding, not accusing someone, you feel the friction. Then that is the minimum damage you can do, because you are alert, you are vigilant. Diligent about what? The friction, the reaction. Resistance is the word. When Banyananda put it in, I could got a quotation. I doubt whether I can directly go into that. And he says how the resistance happens whenever something not happening according to my will and wish. Then I resist. Then everyone can feel if they are in the same mindfulness. So we have to understand the resistance. We are always resisting. That is what we call evolution. Changing according to the adopting. Instead of adopting, we are adopting the nature. Air conditioning and leveling the land and the information technology, infrastructural difference and communication and transport. We are nastiest. Human are the nastiest fellows on the earth. Because so much of other animals are there, they are not. one day, whenever it happens, there good deeds are happening more weight than the bad deeds you did. Because of the bad only you do good, because of the Buddha. Then you are like climbing a mountain and starting a horn. It's a horn means conch. So how much the sound goes? So much so, due to your bad, now you are becoming a very good person. And after that, Buddha says, if you do not know, if you are cursing yourself, I am a person, I have killed. I am a person, I have done robbery. I have a person, I have done some sexual misconduct. Lying, slandering, harsh words and kind of thing. I have done alcohol. Then more and more you're remembering, more and more akusala is happening. You are not doing compensation. The Buddha is not to accuse the bad people. Buddha is to give a compensation. And then you have enough time today onward to the death and do as much as possible effectively because you have done bad things. Otherwise you are destined to hell. Because you are always thinking about your bad things. So today whole human world, they have done very little bad thing. But again and again thinking, I have done killing, I have done stealing, I have done sexual misconduct, I have done lying, slandering, I have done alcohol. But when the teacher happens, he says, that's, yeah, you see, you know it now, do the bell, other way around. He has the motivation now because he has done. Then within this life, he can see the positive side. Because of the Buddha, because of the Dhamma, because of Sangha, because of Sila. I have seen so much of, I mean, little amount, up to my fingers maybe, they have done bad things, now they are superior people, never show anything. Because they know, if you have killed, give abhedana, give rescue people. If you have done stealing, protect others. And everything is Buddha has given the prescription. So then they become a benevolent people, and ultimately they feel, due to the meeting of the Buddha and Dhamma, so much of a turning point. Then he thanks Buddha. Thanks. But other people, those who have not done bad things, they can't understand. Do you understand what I am telling? That's why it is good to be a Israel. You bloody fellows has done enough. Of course, got the punishment also enough from the close by fellow, German. So now you have the Buddha, you know Dhamma, you know Sangha. So don't express anyone. Don't do tell anyone, because you know what are the weighty things, heavy things you have. To till that goes, and I will give you the assurance, when you are doing good thing, you feel how your bad things are going, the heavy things are disappearing, and you become light. You become frictionless. You become frictionless path and the happy way. That is the Buddha Sasana. If it is not happening, you are not a Buddhist. You are just a traditional fellow. You don't know your mistake. You don't know how much compensation happens. So under such circumstances, very difficult to say it's a living Buddhism. Living Buddhism means you feel each and every moment, each and every mindful thought moment, you feel it. That verification is the most difficult part. Whether I am mindful or not. No one can do it, but you can tell others, please, Bhante, I try my best to be mindful. If I am doing any mistake, please, please. That is what we did it after the 3 months rain retreat. If you have done, if you have seen, if you have heard, if you have suspicions about my behavior, please, Bhante. Because I am not going to satisfy the people. If I have done, you will be a witness, please. Such a humbleness. So that is the way, the living Buddhism I call. So I am a living example for that. Up to the age 26, everyone told I am a good person, but I know how much calculated crimes I have done. No one punished me. But when Dhammika is such a fellow, he says, don't change your lifestyle, don't stop your crimes, I mean, not the big crimes, I am Stomati. Be mindful. The Bhanti, how can I be mindful as far as I am a crime? No, you do it. These are the my photos, bad thing I have done, but I manage somewhat mindful. And introduced to this mindful society, I feel like a scholarship to heaven. So all these people are very good, of course, simple living, high-thinking people. And they never ask me. They never find fault with me. I found one day they will inquire about me. One day they will ask, how come you come? Because you are a crime buster. How can come and sit in us? They never ask me. So I determine I will never discriminate people because they have given full-fledged the sympathy, not be more than my mother and father. So I am try to keep, I am not interfering other psychologies. They can do, no harm. Anytime they can correct. But if you have to set a right role model, but not by teaching, by silent sermon. So I am very happy, the Israeli and German sitting very close together. Okay.
Last Sunday we went to Satipasala at closer to Ambalanthota with Kaduvela Podiswami Nwanse. There we practice sitting meditation and walking. While doing the walking, there were around 150 participants. We took them to the ground in the temple. So that time the environment was so sunny, no clouds at all, but little by little the clouds came around. While we start the walking meditation, little raindrops were there but didn't start the rain. We did the walking meditation a couple of rounds, and after that everybody came inside the hall. By that time the rain started heavily. In that instant, I feel how much the environment was supporting for this practicing of mindfulness, my walking meditation, whereas no disturbance at all when we are doing the walking meditation. So if we are practicing it correctly, I think the environment also will be supporting for us to do the merits.
That is also true, but if you are practicing, you can feel it is going to rain, I have to go into the house. That's simple like that. And the thing is, they have determined, this Ambalanthota people, not to have alcohol for the last 3 months. And they wanted to have regular meditation practice, mindfulness. They wrote a letter, Bante Vassana Samadhiya. Please give a monk. We a whole group, 180 people or 200 about people, determined not to have alcohol. And this is a third session. Our young monk, he went there. Of course, they invited me. They know I have no chance. But he is going so much of a distance. This bloody fellow is giving the vehicle. He is the driver. The Tamadru is telling I have to have that session. He go there. And he also enjoy it. They decided not to have alcohol. What a wonderful thing. After the determination whether they are taking alcohol or not, we don't know. But they say we are going to stop alcohol. Instead, please come and share with the mindfulness. And they are doing sitting and walking just like normal people. So these are very encouraging things. Good.
Asura Bante.
Yeah.
We have one question from the chat. Just now I received it.
Yeah.
May I present it?
Yeah. We have taken about 25 minutes. We are going to take this one also. That will be the end of the open discussion.
Yes, Bante. Asura Bante. Question on the word meaning of friction. Does the mental friction generate due to aberration between one's expectations are not satisfying with the present moment happenings? That's the end of the question.
No, friction means, as Isaac Newton says, if the thing is moving the space, it is straightforward. If sometimes come and hit only, it have an equal and opposite reaction and change the path. So that is called thesis, antithesis and synthesis. That's what the Karl Marx told. Man is naturally good. Due to the class differences, he gets friction. Then he reacts. Then his path is different. The Buddha says, Dvara Aramana Tadupapanna. I is very innocent. I consciousness. Till a light wave come and hit. Soon hit, it create liking and disliking. Otherwise, as far as your closed eyes, they are enlightened. And the important thing is, regarding the last example that I cited, as far as you are seeing something, if you know your mind is now attracted to the seeing, your ear is enlightened. Your nose is enlightened. Your tongue is enlightened. Your body is enlightened. Because mind is with the eye. But if you know, eye is doing something bad, something frictional. But you know it. But due to that knowledge, all the other sections, no any aberration, no friction. That is what we call inferential knowledge. That is what we call vipassana knowledge. That's what we are lacking today. We are so much good people, but only see the mistake. Never mind, that mistake is a mistake. But due to this mistake, other channels are not working. What a wonderful thing the Buddha discovered. And he can share unconditionally with the Buddhist and non-Buddhist, monks and lay people. But I have seen, now I am very seriously in meditation and Buddhism for 50 years. Not a single one appreciate his own goodness. Always talking about the bad. Or other people badness. So they are akusala samapatti, talking about the other's mistake. So Ouspensky wrote, whenever you become mindful, first you find is self-criticism. If you are not mindful, you are a very good fellow, you think. But if you have become mindful, you say, I can't breathe, I can't walk, I can't do this and that. And because of what? Because of the fine fault with others. Others are not Buddhist. Other people are not doing their duty. That's why I can't. And the thing he says, system is wrong. The fourth one he says, I must be pedantic. Let the other people go to hell. I don't care. I must be working through the rules. So they have become crucified. These all characteristics are wrong, but all four indicate now you are mindful, now you are alert. So it is a teacher's duty. Whenever you feel friction, to say, darling, this is a sign of mindfulness. So that is, the Buddha mentioned that in the Puttapada Sutta, in 12 places, whenever you feel friction and this thing, the tension, indicate you are mindful. That is, this is a sign of mindfulness. If that is there, each and every time we have interaction, friction and aberration, I am living here now. Don't appreciate the tension and frustration. Find a reason to be glad, because that I am happy. I am mindful. I am vigilant. I am diligent. That is the way I handle and I try to understand this kind of situation. Okay, now I am happy. Cordially invite Venerable Kuti number 12. Buddha Rakhita Hamaduro, to go to the point where we stopped it, and please continue.
So, okay, we will continue with this sutta from the Sutta Nipada. This is a discussion where the Buddha is asking questions to Mahasariputta. And so we're reaching the final section of questions, but actually it's the longest answers that the Mahasariputta is going to give to the Buddha. So the Buddha poses this question, or set of questions, to the Buddha. Having taken up training, dwelling unified, judicious, mindful, should he blow away his own stains as a smith removes the flaws of silver? having taken up what training, dwelling unified, judicious, mindful, should he blow away his own stains as a smith removes the flaws of silver? So Mahasariputta answers, he should not come under the control of anger and arrogance. He should dig them up by their root too. Then, withstanding the pleasing and displeasing, he should conquer them as well. Giving precedence to wisdom, rejoicing in the good, he should suppress those objects. He should vanquish discontent with remote lodgings. He should vanquish the four factors of lamentation. What will I eat? Where will I eat? Alas, I slept badly. Where will I sleep? One in training, wandering without abode, should remove these thoughts of lamentation. So this is a partial answer to this question that the Buddha has given. We will take about eight verses, actually, to get through the answer to this question. But firstly, again, the Buddha is very, very beautiful in how he describes the process of purification, the Visuddhimagga, as we appreciate very much, by blowing away his own stains as a smith removes the flaws of silver. So normally a smith will be heating the silver and then adding things to try and flocculate out the contaminants so that you get the pure silver and it becomes not brittle but malleable and pure and shining. So having taken up what training, dwelling unified, judicious, mindful, should he blow away his own stains? He should not come under the control of anger and arrogance. So here's an interesting answer from the Buddha or from Mahasariputta on this question of friction. He should not come under the control of anger and arrogance. So anger is a natural process. It's a natural phenomena. It arises. It will have many causes and conditions. So it may be arising in one's heart or it may be arising in the environment, the people you surround yourself with. So we have to be very careful to not come under the control of anger. We have to accept that anger exists. It's a phenomena. It's always there. And we need to cognize it, recognize it, and have manageability over this anger. Otherwise, anger will be managing us. So when we see anger as it really is, we see that it is trying to protect us from the attack of a dangerous being, a dangerous animal. And when we have anger, we have that effort and energy to actually counter that attack. So anger is very helpful in certain ways. It gives us the strength to deal with the attacker. However, we need to be in control of this energy and we need to be in control of anger itself so that if we are also mindful, wise and judicious, then we can make a good assessment of the situation and realize that am I in control of anger or is anger in control of me? As the Buddha says here, or as Sariputta says here, I should not also come under the power of arrogance. I shouldn't be arrogant about the anger. Oh, I never get angry. I'm not an angry person. You know, these can be the most angry people because they're covered over in their anger. They're hiding their anger, hiding it from others and hiding it from themselves, but ultimately sitting on a mountain of anger. And friction naturally arises because of things like miscommunication, misunderstanding, wrong message. So we always encourage generosity in Buddhism, to be generous. In other religions, when they talk about friction and when they talk about generosity, they'll say you should, they call it the golden rule that, you give as you have received. You match what the other person is giving you. So the generosity is 50-50. You know, you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. However, there can be a miscommunication and then anger will arise. So friction is very naturally going to occur if we're just matching what other people do. And then there's the eye for the eye. You weren't nice to me, I'm not nice to you. So in Buddha's, in the Bible and in the Quran, in Islam, you'll find these golden rules. So they encourage generosity, that you be generous and so others will be generous to you. But on the other hand, they have this justice, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So if they're not nice to you, you're not nice to them. But in Buddhism, we don't have this golden rule. We encourage generosity, that be generous. But we also have to be a little bit careful to not come under the control of anger and arrogance. So we shouldn't be too generous either, where we are just being bled out and we're fools. We're not doormats. And we learn to control and manage our own anger. We become informed by our own anger. We're not shamed by anger, our own anger and the anger of others, so we're informed by it. We don't come under its control. We learn manageability. We don't deny, oh, I'm not angry. Oh, I would never get angry. That person doesn't bother me in the slightest. This is a very veiled anger, very dangerous anger. And frankly, I find it all the time in these religious people, full of it. So we have to dig it up by the root. Then we have manageability over anger. Dig it up by the root, ignorance. We understand all its modes, how it's flowing around, where the friction is arising, miscommunication, misunderstandings, different cultures, different ways, means. Somebody got out of the wrong side of the bed. You know, be generous with them as much as possible, but understand that there are people who are pathologically angry and be very careful. Keep away from them. So dig up the root of anger itself. Don't be afraid of anger. Look into it very carefully, judiciously, wisely. And then once anger is put aside, it's normally meditators are angry when they're sitting down meditating, they're uncomfortable, but then they'll come down to pleasing and displeasing. So anger is kind of gross. In a way, anger is an easy defilement to tackle. But pleasing, ooh, that's a difficult one. You don't want pleasing to go away. You know what I mean? I'll have more of that, pleasing, please. But then with the pleasing comes the displeasing. And then your teacher is saying, well, why not develop equanimity? So we have a middle way between pleasing and displeasing, which is neither pleasing nor displeasing, what we call equanimity. Upeka. So we should conquer both pleasing and displeasing. And so anger is actually easy. It's an easy defilement to tackle. It's gross, it's obvious, we don't like it, we want to uproot it. But get rid of pleasing. Wow, that's a difficult one. That's a very difficult defilement to, as the Buddha says here, blow away his own stains as a smith removes the flaws of silver. So can you remove pleasing? Whoa, that's a real cause for anger. You're not pleasing me, so I'm angry. That wasn't very pleasing. Oh, I'm very angry. See how it comes together. So then the Buddha says, give precedence to wisdom. He's not a negative guy. He's not saying, oh, don't be angry. He's saying, give precedence to wisdom. And it can be very interesting to study anger. When you make anger your friend and you study it very carefully in yourself and in others, wow, you can really open up to a lot of wisdom. And as he says here, rejoice in the good. We're not all bad. We have a good side. And it can be very challenging when we feel angry. We see the fault in somebody, but we can be failing to rejoice in the good. So he should suppress those obstacles. Those obstacles that are interfering with his ability to see the wisdom, to rejoice in the good. So these are things like stinginess. But there are other obstacles like sila, like that we don't keep morality. So we have to suppress, we have to make an effort with our vinaya. We have to uphold our vinaya, especially when it's difficult to uphold, when it would be far easier to not keep a good moral behavior or keep up our vinaya, especially if you're a monk and so on. You have a lot of vinaya to uphold. But the function of this vinaya is to suppress the obstacles to wisdom and the obstacles to doing the good. And so it's sometimes very helpful to, you know, keep in a place where it's easy to keep the vinaya. It's easy to, you know, be surrounded by other fellow practitioners. And then we have to really recognize the difficulties of this holy life. As he calls it, the vanquish the discontents with the remote lodgings. What will I eat? Where will I eat? Alas, I slept badly. Where will I sleep? It's very pragmatic and practical. Like, again, one can get angry with the difficulty of the situation. One can get very bored. One can find it monotonous. We've had almost 6 months of rain here in the forest, almost daily, and it gets monotonous. It gets tough. Everything is rotting. Everything is hard to dry. And the food is monotonous. You know, rice and curry every single day. And what will I eat? Sometimes we're hungry in the evening. We, if you eat one meal a day, you're bound to face hunger. And sleep, again, it's hot, it's cold. You've got insects, you've got all kinds of things going on. So it doesn't get easy. You have to deal with this all the time. This monotonous, even if it's adequate, it can be monotonous. So there's all kinds of ways that the mind finds it a challenge, and one has to be kind and generous with oneself. So one is in training, wandering without an abode, should remove these thoughts of lamentation. We should remove them, like, as he says here, blowing away his own stains as a smith removes the flaws of the silver. It's a real challenge, this visuddhimagga, this purification. It's a real challenge. So that's just these three verses in reply. We have another, at least five more to go to answer this short verse by the Buddha in question. But I'd like to hear what Mahathera has to say.
Of course, this one, I last time also put some marks in my diary regarding this, how the goldsmith removed the stain little by little. In Dhammapada, we have that stanza, Anupubbena medhavi thoka thokan kane kane, kammaro rajataseva nidhame malamattano. In this verse also, kammaro rajataseva nidhame malamattano is the same. But beforehand, two stanzas, kang so sikkang samadaya ekodi nepako sato, kammaro rajaseva nidhame malamattano. It says, translation goes, with the balanced mind, person with the mindfulness and the clear comprehension, whatever the precept he is taking, he is blacksmith, goldsmith, remove the stain little by little, each and every moment. He is purifying. Toka tokan kane kane. That means we monks, meditators, should not leave single thought moment unmindful. Each and every thoughtful moment is moment by moment. Each and every moment, there are no chances for external defilements to come and harbor on our mind. So therefore, we are kind of a purification. On top of that, as the Kuti number 12, when Buddha Rakita mentioned, when the anger happens, we become angry about anger. Then you are no more mindful, you are carried away by a taken for a ride. But you can't love anger also. Well, that is the way the evolution trained us. Our parents teach us anger means something, you have to take action. But leave aside that, what about the loving kindness? It's the same like anger. Same like anger. But the Buddhists, they are very happy to talk about the loving kindness. Loving kindness is a perverted form of anger. You are too much of loving kindness means you are, before the symptoms happen, before the disease happens, they are preparing loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness. Loving kindness means simple absence of anger. Avero homi in Pali. Avero homi. There is no loving kindness as such, as far as you are not making angry or tolerance or react with the others, you are involving kindness. So in Theravada, that is utterly misunderstood. So therefore, from the beginning, I try to not to develop loving kindness and compassion. Because it's a good part against the hatred and the compassion for the others. So that means an invitation to clear comprehension. But today, Buddha Sasana department, temples, all the Buddhists are doing so much of loving kindness things. They are the worst angry lot. Whenever they are going to do good things, if it is going something wrong, they become bloody wild. So you go to the dana area, wherever may be, they are very short-tempered, very angry. And the monks, we can see, they came with a lot of generosity, but they have not. But don't have anger, don't have the loving kindness, and you use upekkha. It's very difficult to directly go to upekkha. But as far as you are hating anger, I tried myself to keep away the loving kindness. One day, Christopher Hampshire, not the Christopher Hampshire, the second person in the present day middle way, we came to Panditaram. He came with the team, and I have done vipassana and I am doing loving kindness at that time. He came and told Bhante, Usado, Pandita, Panse, don't teach loving kindness to Westerners. They are completely taken away. They are not doing vipassana. They are not doing mindfulness. Loving kindness, loving kindness, loving. Then side told, I am not teaching loving kindness. I am teaching vipassana. He is again and again telling, Bhante, please, you are the only person teaching vipassana. Don't teach loving kindness. Then the Thaido can't express. He asked me to come. I am not a very good disciple of Sayadaw. It's a different issue. But ask Sayadaw, tell him, you came here, you spent 2 years and plus. Now only I am teaching you loving kindness. Tell them, we are teaching vipassana. When the vipassana understood only, you can learn loving kindness. So therefore, ask him to mind his own business. I am not teaching mindfulness. He says, West is completely taken away from the wisdom to compassion, anger to loving kindness. And they are talking highly about loving kindness. But they don't know. Anger also creating mind colored. Loving kindness also creating mind colored. Keep it not to get colored. Each and every moment. So one day I give a talk. Mother died and she wanted to pass merits. Then after that I told. After that discussion, and he told, one person told in the discussion, last life, a father has killed the son. And the next life, they again born as a mother, father and son, and the other person killed this person without any reason. Because they have anchored, they have the psychological wounds in the past life, and someone revealed it and says they had the hate in the last life, and that is why this life, same person, same couple, did the others. One of the person indicated. Then I told, you and your mother is with such a strong loving love, that also passed the same way. Exactly the same mistake it is doing. But you are not happy. You say, your mother must be the next life mother also. Next life daughter also. You don't see. Hatred you are talking about heavily. But the same thing, they were bloody wild. They told Bhante, you think that becoming a human life is no good? No, I told not like that. I am telling human life is independent one. Don't have hate or love. Both of them are hooks. But you bloody fellows appreciate loving kindness and hating hate. But if you are an individual, no community, no ethics, both are bias. Both are bias. So therefore, thoka thokan kane kane, each and every moment, little by little, maintain the mindfulness, as you mentioned, very difficult. It is boring. It's very monotonous. It's very sleepy. It is disheartening. It is not appreciating your egotistic dream making. So each and every moment, toka tokan kane kane is important. So that same stanza appearing here with the change of this thing. Kammaro rajita seva nidhume malamattanu. So it's a very common thing in the Dhammapada. Born wise person removing his stream of consciousness, removing the defilement of the stream of consciousness each and every moment, little by little. Just like the blacksmith or silversmith remove the dirt and the grease within the carvings, putting water, putting into heat, putting into water, putting into heat. So they make the gold and the silver pliable and burning all the organic matters. If you can rub it against the sandpaper, no, then your golden ornament will be out of shape. The way the burning and cooling is happening, you are not disturbing the carvings, but only the dirty part. That means even if it is dirty, no change in the value, only the appearance. Whether it's burning or water. But the dirty part will be getting rid of. So therefore, you must not hate. You must love loving kindness. Both of them are good for social life. When you are here and now, both of them are crooked. Both of them they have a curvature and self-center is there. Upekkha is straightforward. Your self-center is at the infinitum. Your direction is to infinitum. No love, no hate. But the Buddhism can't accept it. Buddha Dhamma accepting it. This is an example. Venerable Sariputta is expressing it in a such a way. So therefore, as far as you are living in a Buddhist organization, Buddhist institute, you are always biased for loving kindness. You are hating hate. And after the World Trade Center bombing, the Mind and Life Organization had the symposium. They recognized 7 destructive emotions. One thing is hate. Daniel Turman wrote about a book. I got a copy. Yeah, at the beginning he says, I will never hate ever. Well, that's a learning. That's a lecture. That's an experiment. It's a knowledge. And to learn hate, not when you are doing loving kindness, not when no hate, when the hate is under your very nose, be aware it is hate, it is not love, it is not equanimity, it is not any other thing, hate is hate. For that you must have facing, just to face, but you can't face whole chunk, you have to do little by little, thought by thought. So this is a very long the discipline, the Buddha explained, not in the moral discipline, not in the concentration discipline, this is what you call wisdom discipline. Let them happen, just face it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to get the other way. Instead of dosa, don't try to have loving kindness. That means you are avoiding the dosa. Let the dosa happen as much as possible. Definitely you will get defeated. But one day you can understand, if you go with prepared mind for dosa, hatred, you can be prepared. Day by day your tolerance level will be uplifted. So at the beginning you avoid the dosa people, avoid the dosa circumstances, hate, and whenever possible, you are going to meet up with. And ultimately you can see, even they are happening, the infliction of dosa will be reduced. So when I go to Burma, I was fighting with the people and arguing and kind of thing. When I go to Burma, and 4 years almost I went there, and people invited me to come back to Nishanavane because this place is ruining. Then I determined, I will never fight with anyone hereafter. I came with that determination. But my fight with started Venerable Arya Dhamma, my preceptor. I had a case. I told blah, 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 blah. He can't hate me. I hated him. Then I thought, what a fool I am. I would have been in the Burma. I would have been minding my own business. But in the Panditaram also, I had reason to be hate. But it is not my place. But when I come here, when someone is playing fool, I get angry. Then I told, that is what I determined before coming to the Sri Lankan land. But it is happening. So I feel ashamed. But can't help, that motivation is so strong. Such a motivation, I am fighting vehemently. Many people told Bhante, this is not your nature. Someone would have provoking you. Then I told, I am not a baby to provoke. This is my own hate. I came here determined not to have. But I am happening with my best friend. He is the person who gave me the letter to go to Burma. He is the person who appointed me as the competent authority here. He is the first person who read the Kamma Vacha in the Upasampada. So therefore it is not so simple. It is very bitter. But you have to undergo. There is no other way. You can't balm it off by the compassion. You can't balm it off with the loving kindness. He is doing that. He is doing loving kindness to me. I can't. I know I am hate. I came here not to hate, but I am with hate. That I thought it will be a bad example, but a good lesson for me. But I can't prescribe it for you. Very difficult. Loving kindness easily I can prescribe, but I know it is more worse than hate. Hate is immediate effect. Loving kindness has a fast, far-reaching results. I mean, infliction, very difficult to get rid of. That's why the monks are, the teachers are very unhappy when the disciples are getting disrobed. They are crying. They are crying. Because they have made so much of effort to bring it up. Ultimately, he says, you are not my teacher. I am going. Bye-bye. Ta-ta. Not my mother died, not my father died, but my colleague or my co-practitioner is died. So this is how it happens. So it is not hate, but it is also a hate. It's a kind of a hate. So therefore, we are the people facing directly, and Venerable Sariputta is a very good example. Many people are telling Sariputta, Venerable Sariputta is a very good example for compassion. But here you can see how sharp, how meticulous, and how straightforward, short to the point. That is why the Buddha is asking, what is your discipline? What is your, how do you call, restraint? Short to the point, that's all I would like to share with you all.
Vande, here one Pali line, Vijigucha Manasa Yadidam Pasu. What is that, Vijigucha Manasa?
What is the sutta you are referring?
The same sutta, Vande, 969, that verse.
969. Here the numbers are changing. Vijigucha Manasa. Vijigucha manasa yadidam pasu rittasanam sayanam sevato che sambodhi kamasa yathanu dhammam tang te pavakkhami yatha pajanam. What the Buddha has mentioned, Thariputta, the birth you are not happy with, and the Vivikta Shayanasane, you are not happy with the comfortable beddings. You are in a meager beddings. Still, you are in a happiness, in a kind of a comfortable living. You are still close to the nature, close to the mindfulness, close to the present moment. What does it mean? Tupate pratyakshin, that is what I wish you to experience under your very nose. You are not happy with the birth. You are not happy with comfortable beddings, with the other sexual life or sensuous life. But you are just sleeping in a meager beddings, And you are always thinking, yes, yes, that is very boring, that is very monotonous, that is very sleepy. But still, I try my best to be with the monotonous situation. That's what I wish you to practice. Very difficult to tell this to a lovable person. Get rid of all the comforts and just live like the beginner. It is very boring. You feel like changing the object. You feel like changing the posture. You feel like changing the teacher. Understand it. That is what you have to practice. So therefore, in a sense, all the mistakes happening, mishaps, is a teacher. The Buddha says, that's why I meant, Tangte bhavakkhami yata bhajana. Please understand, as it is, when you are in the Nibbana path, it is not very pleasant. It is not always comfortable. But you know you are mindful. You are more alert. You are more vigilant. That is the part. Please follow. So what are the two terms you mentioned? Vijigucha manasa means you not happy with that kind of mindset. That's for the luxuries and comfort. And Rittasanam Sayanam Sevato Che. You are living just a rough bed. You are not living with the girl. You are not living with the pillows and all the kind of luxuries. Sambodhi Kamasa Yathanu Dhammam. As far as you expect the reality as such, you just follow Dhamma. Not the comfort, not the hating of the negative things. That is the first life. That's the under the tree life. That's the sunyagara life. And if you know it, that's what I mean by brahmacharya. That's what I mean by the asceticism. That's what I mean by a monk. That's what I mean by energy. Even after becoming a monk, you can search luxuries and all the kind. I mean, so to a certain extent, you must have. Not like jatilas and ajivakas and those who have no clothes. How do you call Mahavira's disciples? Jains. They are utterly, self-torturing. That is not. The Buddha says monks should have the four requisites. You know they are meager, they are very frugal, and people can support, be happy. Your mind may be searching about the luxuries and consumerization. Today monks are completely lost. That means people are treating monks, specifically when the COVID happens, difficulties happen, monks are treated very well. Monks, we are very lucky people, we have done good karma, that is why we are getting. So they do not know how much to consume and how much to have, how much is a luxury and how much is a utility. Some people are self-torturing. Even the utilities are not using and they think this is luxury. So who is going to tell you? So mindfulness is the only one. So that if you learn, Buddha says, that is my wish. And Jnanananda says, yesterday's luxury will be today's utility. You have to understand. As far as it is good for your the monastic life, use it. But not for the comfort, for the purpose, for the pragmatism. Don't torture yourself. Do the self-torturing. And I am always making this comment, but it is not so nice. All the nuns is the worst example on the earth. They are self-torturing. All the forest monks are also in the same side. They are not using the facilities, the utilities available for the sake of mindfulness. No. They think it will be a luxury. When Jnana Rama and Upanishad, two different characters. They are very happily using the material earned in the Dhamma way and using for mindfulness, using for asceticism, using for spreading of Dhamma. They are not prescribing luxuries. They are not prescribing the consumerization. Whatever earned, came along your way. Use it for the purpose, not for the luxury. As a teacher, very difficult. Many disciples are misunderstanding. We went to Semmangong, from the Semmangong to Chautan. We spent 2 months. By the way we come, Saido put up a very nice building in the Panditarama. When we foreigners came, Saido went into the round and shows, this is given by one Dayaka and this is blah, 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 blah. One Vietnamese monk was with us. Oh, Saido, it's a luxury. What did you say? This is not luxury. The day we started Dhamma talk. We started meditation. This is not using for luxury. You do not know how the luxury is being used. This is due to the sex. This is not. This is using to tell you Dhamma. This house is using for the discussion. All these are utilities. And then he asked question. We have 200 odd number of yogis and kind. How many vehicles you must have? Then Viveka is a German. He says 15 people should have one vehicle. That is the German standard. Then he asked me. Then I told Bhante, I don't know how much you have work. According to the work, you must have vehicles. Dhammika wrote this as an essay. Pandita said, whack the Viveka. You are coming with the Western figures. How can you say 15 is enough? It is for sex. This is for meditation. You can't decide. No, no, no. That is what the people in the Thailand, big monks are thinking. They are richness with the number of vehicles. We are also following the suit. Don't say like that. When the yogis are coming here, I have to send him to the visa office. I have to pay them. I am doing everything. There's one vehicle for that. And one vehicle has to go daily to the Sunday fair, the daily fair, and bring vegetables and all the other things, one. And to go to the your Sembayangon project, one. So this is how it happens. How can you say luxury? Utility. Then I explained, Sayadaw, this is what happened in Nisanamane Bhante. We are not handling money. Complete is done by the lay people. And we are living in Dhammajiva. Your progress is limited. You can't do it. You just go to Kaduvela and see. How many monks are running up and down in the whole old island? 200, 300 people are coming. Each and everyone is fed. And we have no spare, we have no the financial support. So we have to earn something. Because these people, they can't practice without the cup of tea. And running vehicles, 2-3 vehicles, going to the whole island. So occasionally I go there, I ask our main body, please look into it, because whenever Namavihari is also not there, so therefore we have to give meager support. Otherwise we can't wait till the contributions happen, because we must have basic, overheads covered. So these things we can't do it, Nisanwani. Nisanwani is for the residential monks. But that is for lay people. 500,000 at least you have to spend to bi-monthly. So much of electricity bill, so much of the light bill, so much for the petrol. And the monks are not paid. Everyone is working 24 hours. So someone can say it is unwanted thing, and why you become a monk and why you ask him for this trouble, you go to the cave and try to meditate, close eyes and cross-legged and kind of thing. So that vibrations you have to decide is up to you. Buddha has not deciding for ourselves. Venerable Sariputta is not deciding. He says if you wish to have that kind of propagation, you must not ruin by yourself, and you must have the basic utilities. And let that the propagation happen. But don't lose your solitude. Don't lose your, freedom or your free time. So many monks find it difficult to balance it. Because they get the enough support from the, enough response from the other people just learning mindfulness, and they know they have to do some sacrifice, then I told do it happy mind, and that will be compensated. So then it has to compare it with the luxuries and the utilities and requisites. I am usually not controlling these monks and the utilities. I says, do it for the pragmatic, for the utility value. If whenever it is going beyond, it is the sex. It is a sensuous pleasure. Whenever it is coming less, you are self-torturing. The balancing is upekkha. It is not easy. It is not a book knowledge or theory knowledge. It is something pragmatic you have to learn. So this is this stanza, and what you are talking in the next one is a living Buddhism. Whenever Buddhism becomes book language or holy script, gone. You have to earn them. Then and there you have to earn as a disciple, as a teacher, as a group member, as a receiver, as a giver. Yeah, circumstances are very, very fragile.
We really have much time.
3 minutes.
Okay. The other day I went into a situation where I was with somebody who I knew this was going to happen, but this anger came up in me, and I could feel this burst of energy. So, and I was mindful of that energy that arose, and because of that, I think I was able to make a decision on what would be the most, like how to follow I didn't think of the Eightfold Noble Path, but how to most do the most wholesome thing that I could do. So I knew what I should do, and I did that. So I wasn't carried away by the anger, but I when I reported this to Chandaratana Bhante, he mentioned that I think what happened was I had some ego attachment which caused the anger to erupt in me. But I think if I had gone into the situation with more mindfulness, I would have known the anger before it even got to that level. But it was good. I found it was good to be at least mindful at the moment that it erupted. But I just wondered on your comment, Bhante, of Swaminath, of going into a situation before and knowing beforehand that this could happen, and to catch that energy earlier before it actually goes to the ego level and becomes self-view and this sort of thing.
You are on the way, but you are not unhappy. You are not happy now. That's the only mistake.
I'm happy.
No, that's why you are asking. You are utterly on the practical way. You know anger happens halfway. You know it. And you want to now make it very quick, very smart. That is your anger. Do it very slow. You are on the way.
So I do feel good about that.
Your tone is angry tone.
Well, not really. I mean,
you want to be smart. You want to get quickly. 1,000 years you have done the wrong mistake. Now you are on the way back, very slow. But definitely you are against the grain.
Yes.
Daily I have at least 15 times in me now.
Yes.
Because I am handling so much of issues. When the thing is gone wrong, I get angry. Then I think it is not done. I know it, I am cheating. So I very compassionately talk with the other person. That person can't feel because he is not mindful. If he is mindful, he can see I am cheating. I have anger, but I talk and do little slowly. But that is my reform, that is my evolution. I am living. I am met up with so much of unexpected things. But people are asking this and that. Then I appear like a very saint, like Lao Tzu. What the hell? But anyway, I know I am against the grain. I am doing unwanted task I am having. But still, sometimes I hit. Day before also one thing happened. I told, I am going to decide upon you. Don't play with me. I am a high tension wire. Tell me the truth. You start crying. They are not crying. Tell me the truth. Otherwise, I will prove you that day finish. Tell me. Do if it is so, you have to do, how do you call it, confession. When Chandratan was there, I try to be a judge. I try to be a balanced person. But I know I am too much. Unwanted. But can't help. Otherwise you can't run a center. And I know many people are not doing the same thing to me. They respect me. But I am not. Sometimes I do that unrespectful, unbecoming kind of thing. But immediately sometimes I go and apologize. I'm sorry, I hit you, but some people say, I know, Bhante, you are one. Recently, when the lady doctor got a telephone call, I blackhearted. Then I told, you have to understand you with whom you are talking with. That is why, Bhante, you get a telephone call. That's why I'm not coming to you. I know you can hit me. I told, don't play with me. We are on tightrope walking. You are playing hell. Doctors are doing something wrong. No, I am not a doctor doing private practice. Even practicing and taking money, you are doing a dirty thing. Don't try to play with me. There I felt that I am doing something stirring, but I know how much damage I am doing to my reputation, how much damage to that other person, and how much earlier I would have done it vehemently. Now I am doing slowly, so therefore you are much, much gentleman than me. You are on the way. Only thing is, you are not happy. I will hit you.
Well, I appreciate this. Thank you, Swami Nansa.
Yeah. So now it's time for Pindapatha. Thank you very much for active participation for the discussion.